the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Thank you for joining us on Three-Dimensional Wealth. I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf. Today we've got a great guest, Vic Pricer. And Vic is, I have a copy of his newest manuscript of a new book. And so we're going to be talking about estate planning for the post-transition period. Those are a lot of words, but we'll get into that. Let me just give you an intro about Vic. And Vic has been around for a while, 40 years of business and government experience, deals with family ownership issues, developing the career path of family members and heirs. He's been with 8 companies over his career, served as CEO or senior management in all of those. In 2 state-level cabinets, he's been appointed. 3 businesses within his own family, so he comes with experience there. Again, a breadth of practical experience in the family coaching. He's also served as the director of the Institute for Family Business and resident professor of management at the University of the Pacific. He's a frequent lecturer at graduate schools, of business education institutions, authored numerous case studies on strategic and organizational issues. Now, I've got actually 2 books in front of me. He's co-authored Preparing Heirs and Financial Philanthropy, Heirs and Values. And now, again, I have the manuscript of his newest book, Estate Planning for Post-Transition Period. And he is with the Williams Group. And he does coaching and mentoring heirs. And I guess also you've been in the Army. You've got a MBA and a BS from Stanford University. And there's probably a whole lot more I could go on to say, but we only have an hour, Vic. So I'm going to leave it at that and just want to say welcome.
Thank you, Roy, for the very kind introduction. You're starting to put me to sleep. So.
Well, listen, it has been a long, interesting career for you, and I assume that it's not over yet. And but looking back over time, can you give us a progression of how this developed?
Well, it started off, in fact, when I was in business school, and I had fellow students sitting next to me in class who would talk during coffee hour and stuff like that about how worried and apprehensive they were about the responsibilities they were facing because their parents expected them to come in and take over the business. And we're talking about major American enterprises. My classmates are names that, you know, most of your listeners would instantly recognize because mm-hmm. they're on brands, shelves, products, vehicles, etc. So that's kind of where it started. And I could see this nervousness, this apprehension that really told me they were very unsure about what they were getting into and what they were getting placed into by their parents.
So when you started in business, what were the first things that you did? I mean, you didn't, you know, you've ended up here, but how, what was the progression that got you where you are today?
Well, you stay in touch with your classmates, and of course, I went through the business sequences of working for major companies in the United States and working for some just terrific executives. I was able to work for Roy Ash at Litton Industries and for Ben Heineman at Northwest Industries. I worked for Gerald Ford and for Governor Bob Ray of Iowa, who has to be one of the, you know, great people of all time I've ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And these were all people who, when you look at them and look at how they were prepared for their responsibilities and their background, it became abundantly clear that these were all survivors and their friends and colleagues who weren't prepared also just didn't make it. So that's what got me interested in it.
But now you made a transition from business into, I guess, what I call sort of mentoring, coaching, family wealth counseling. When did that happen?
Well, I think anybody who ever serves as a CEO ends up mentoring or counseling.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to think about people and their match with their personality and ability with the career slot they happen to be in. So that's a pretty natural evolution for most CEOs, I think.
So this was really, though, Was it by design or by default? I mean, did you back into this, or did you, you know, at some point say, boy, this is where I want to go, this is what I want to be doing, or did one day you just said, this is what I know, and this is what it's going to be?
Well, it was kind of unusual. I was serving as a resident professor of management, and I invited in a guest speaker, and I asked the guest speaker to talk about the odds of success in estate planning. And when he finished his talk, I was absolutely dumbstruck that the odds before the transition were 98% for the assets. 98% odds they'd get through successfully. But they were only 30% for the heirs and the assets after they transitioned. And I thought, holy smoke, is the whole estate planning industry looking at the wrong end of the spectrum? Shouldn't they be looking a lot more at what goes on after the transition? And that man eventually became my business partner. That was Roy Williams, the dean of the industry.
Well, tell us about the brains of the outfit, Roy Williams. What's his background?
Here's a big old guy with a fine education who's working on his doctoral dissertation. He's a big guy, you know, about 6'6", 300 pounds. And here he is working with a nice little fine pencil doing statistical studies and interviewing families about their transition. And I thought, what's a big guy like this doing in a dinky little profession like that? And the more I found out, that it was a hugely practical human being. Roy Williams just goes out and asks the question face-to-face, very much like what you do, Roy, and says, I want to go to the source. I want to understand what's going on. I mean, his history would never lead you to believe that. Here he's a Marine corpsman. He's delivered 200 or 300 babies. He played for the 49ers. His son played for the Redskins and for the Detroit Lions. But in fact, his son played in the Super Bowl. His grandson just started at right tackle for SC and is just about as big as his grandfather. And is now trying for a shot at the Seattle Seahawks. So this is a man who, over time, had a lot of interaction with people, was very thoughtful, and said, what's behind this astounding post-transition failure rate? Something's up.
You know, I had read your book, and I can't remember exactly how many years ago, but it was, and I had been at this for a while. Now I'm in my 38th year. And about maybe it's probably 30 years into this. And Vic, I thought I was doing a pretty good job. I thought our firm, and this is a family firm, it's four generations, and I thought we were doing a great job with our clients. And then I got done reading what you had put and the research that you had done. And it finally hit me. I said, oh, man, we're doing a lousy job. Because exactly the things that you talked about is what we were doing. I mean, we were working with the parents or the matriarch, patriarch. We were putting these financial plans together, and I was living long enough, and from my dad, living long enough to see them actually, you know, come into fruition. And what we found is that the statistics were right, and that all these things that we put together were not coming out the way that we thought. Now, the planning, all that was fine, but the, you know, the people didn't transition well.
Well, see, Rory, you're a little bit, you're too hard on yourself, Rory. You were doing a great job with the tools you had on the instructions you were given. With the tools you had, you could plan around the taxation, governance, and preservation issues, the three classic focal points for transition planning. There weren't any tools until about 5 years ago. There weren't any tools to deal with post-transition planning. Is what's going to happen on the other side of the transom? Does that match up with my heir? Most heirs sit on the other side of that closed door. The transom's open overhead. And all of a sudden, a bunch of gold bricks get thrown through the transom. And for the most part, they hit the heirs in the head, the hands, they crash on the floor. That nobody's prepared. Nobody knows when things are coming over that transom. That's called death. That's called a reading of the will. So you didn't have those tools in the past, nor was there the research in the past. But today, we're now, I mean, the fog is lifting. We can see what it takes to get an heir ready for wealth and responsibility. We couldn't see that 20 years ago, but we are starting to outline it pretty clearly today.
Well, it was like the light bulb went off for me, Vic, when I all of a sudden realized this. I said, you know what? We can re-engineer what we're doing, and we can, you know, gain some new education. So we brought on a family systems therapist, and we actually developed curriculum for advisors dealing with counseling. I mean, these are basically counseling courses through life's transitions at different points when the pressure is put on, so counselors could understand that it's not just about the money. A lot of times, you see, the problems manifest themselves in money, but there's something else going on deeper. Mm-hmm. And so we said, you know, is there a way that we can learn that? I mean, what I know now from all of these, you know, the courses, and I had actually had a degree in behavioral finance, but from the counseling part of it, I would have been a much better practitioner, you know, a couple of decades ago had I known what I know today. But now we're taking it as, okay, well, what we've got now and from the work you're doing, you know, what can we do to get on your shoulders and go from where you have? So it's been very, very helpful.
Well, I mean, that's gratifying, and that's what happens with our research. When we see the research taking hold in practical sources of help, like your firm, it makes us feel so much better. Because we don't. I mean, our firm doesn't do any tax advising. We don't do any financial management. We don't draw wills or any of those issues. All we do is research, and we coach families on how to get ready for the post-transition era, which is exactly where you're heading. The real future lies in preparing the families for post-transition, because we've got the pre-transition stuff, everyone, pretty well honed.
Well, that's what I call sort of the one-dimensional planning. And, of course, you're on the show Three-Dimensional Wealth. So when we talk about it, it's not just financial wealth. It's personal wealth and financial wealth and social wealth, and how to put those together and how to really sort of synchronize them to really make a big, you know, big impact.
I think that's critical, because one-dimensional thinking simply doesn't seem to have paid off anywhere. I don't care if you're designing an iPod and your Apple, or you're out there trying to grow crops in Iowa. One-dimensional thinking just doesn't pay.
You've been at a long time. I mean, are you with the harvest years, or are you in the beginning years of what you're doing? I'm just curious.
You know, the data keeps rolling in. We're probably... thought we were at the harvest years. Every 5 years we think that, and every 5 years more information comes in and we get some new tools available for families, and we kind of think we're at the beginning years. We get our clocks reset about every 5 years on this new information.
That's terrific. Keeps it fresh and exciting. Tell you what, don't set your clocks, because we're going to be back in just a couple minutes with more of Three-Dimensional Wealth. So stay tuned.
Bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu. The education you need to succeed.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roey Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roey Diefendorf.
Our show for today is entitled Estate Planning for the Post-Transition Period. And to discuss that, I have Vic Pricer with me. I just want to read a clip, and I'd like you to comment about this. Despite quality tax and legal planning, only one-third of family businesses survive through the second generation, and only 10% survive through the third. This problem is not limited to families with active businesses. Families with assets and passive investments experience similar wealth dissipation. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, that's scary.
It is.
I mean, be frank, no matter how hard you work to preserve those assets or get them past the tax man, you're looking at odds of 1 in 3 of keeping them? I mean, if I were among your listening audience, that would scare me to death. That says, no matter how good an attorney, suppose I change attorney, suppose I change tax advisor, what am I going to do? Get my odds of transitioning the wealth up from 98% to 98.5%? And still look down the gun barrel of a 70% failure rate on the other side? That's just a real misapplication of focus.
Well, in your book, Heirs and Values, what you did, and for me, it sort of crystallized it, is you said, okay, what do we do to turn it around? And maybe you can highlight on that.
Well, that was kind of the core question. In order to turn it around, you had to really understand and do field research on what were the causes of failure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that statistic you cited, only 1 in 3 make it in the third generation, and the second generation, and by the third generation, it's 10% make it. What's behind that? That's the core question, and you can't find that out by telephone interviews or by letters that go out and questionnaires, because these kinds of people, A, aren't happy about talking about their failures, and B, kind of don't like talking about personal shortcomings or planning shortcomings ever. This is not a what you'd call a survey welcoming audience.
But this was the genesis of your project, of your first book then.
Absolutely, which was go out, find access, get access, and we talked over 3,000 families face-to-face and said, what happened? Let us talk to your kids. Let us talk to your attorneys and estate planners and tax practitioners beforehand. What happened? What was the difference between those of you who made it and those of you who did not?
I'd be curious to find out. I mean, the practitioners like myself who have read your book come up to you. I mean, you heard what I just told you before the break. I said I had to re-engineer my whole practice because I thought we were a little off track. I mean, is that a common response?
Well, actually, it's not, Roey. I think you're among a fairly progressive few. Now, that either says, A, I'm not very persuasive, or B, practitioners feel a lot more comfortable continuing to do what they've always done because they know how to do it and it makes money for them. Why change?
Yep, okay. That's interesting. Because I've had people say to me, in fact, my wife says, well, why don't you just continue doing what you've always done? It's been very successful, and you don't have to, you know, modify anything, and you're spending time, you know, redoing, you know, the methodology and the systems. And I said, you don't understand. I can't turn back. I can't go back. It's once the light bulb has gone off and I understand, it's like, you're not really doing the job. And what I didn't want to see, again, this is a family business that's been in for 1875. What I didn't want to do is have families that we've been working with, I get to the end of the process, and exactly that, find out that what we delivered and where we didn't hit the target. And that was not what they really signed up for. They didn't know what they signed up for. But I wanted to have it so that way at the end of this, they could say, you know what, you have been the most significant advisor, and your firm has been the most significant set of advisors that we have had, bar none, and you've taken us beyond just financial success, but you've taken us to significance. And that, I think, is your phrase.
Well, you know, you won't get those thanks from those parents. Who you get them from is from their heirs. And if their heirs have been allowed to participate in that estate planning process, and that's a pretty rare case, but where the heirs can participate, what happens is then your firm becomes the exception. I mean, Trust and Estates magazine routinely surveys and reports 92% of heirs promptly change their advisors upon receiving their inheritance. What does that say about their involvement with the estate planners? They never even met them.
That's right. There was nothing.
Yeah, the most when they meet them is when the will gets read. That's a lousy time to find out what your responsibilities are for the rest of your life.
You know, you started, I had read it someplace, I wasn't really sure what it was about, but you started the Leadership Family Institute. What does that do?
Well, that's a nonprofit firm that we own, and we plow our money into that for future research so we can get more accurate about documenting causes. So the Leadership Family Institute, and I hope in about a week, we're going to have signed a document and make an announcement that a major U.S. university has taken that home and will have the institute permanently ensconced in their schools, their advanced school. And there, that will be a long-term institutional repository for all our research, and we'll have lots of young, bright researchers willing to pick it up and carry it forward.
Well, that's exciting.
Well, for us, it's tremendously exciting. It takes the creakiness out of our bones. It's one of those things that, you know, 5 years, it recharges you.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'm going to give you a second here to give me an ad for your book. I mean, where would someone buy your books that are out today and the titles and website, or how will we find out about you, Vic?
Well, as you might imagine, I mean, it's not the kind of book you find in your dentist's office or, you know. What it is you go to our website and just type in thewilliamsgroup.org, O-R-G.
Okay.
And once you type in thewilliamsgroup.org, the site will come up and you can see where the books are and you can order them right through the site.
Who would be your ideal client?
Well, our clients, as you can imagine, our resources, coaching resources, are finite. So what happens is the level of client that we now coach has moved steadily upward over the past 15 years. And right now we don't have the resources and the time to really handle clients for us that are much below the 20 to 25 million net worth. Our clients go up from roughly 25 million to $3 billion in assets.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people who are tremendously concerned. And the phrase we use over and over again, money is a magnifier. If you've got opportunities, it's a huge magnifier for your children. But if you've got problems, whether they're medical problems, behavioral problems, drug problems, preparation problems, education problems, money will magnify those just as well. So get prepared.
Mentioned in some of your materials, you said the families that you work with are in turmoil, expressing concern, seemingly adrift, and there were some different sort of bullet points you put in there. I mean, a family in turmoil, how do you help? I mean, some of it you talk about, you know, hostility in the family, non-communication, sibling rivalry over the roles. Some of these you talked about substance abuse. How far down do you get in the counseling of that, or do you are you bringing in you know, third parties to help you on that?
We'll bring in third parties where the problems are very, very intense and specialized.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that as a firm, we do not do psychotherapy. We do not do counseling. We work with the entire family,
right,
and this is a critical point, and that must include the spouses and children over 16, all in the same room at the same time. We work with those families only to help them to deal with today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We do not go back into the past and try to be a psychotherapist, a psychoanalyst.
So you don't worry about potty training and that stuff?
Well, you know, I think the point is, if that's a bedwetting is a problem today, we want to, maybe to analogize, we want to let you learn how to live with it. We're not going to go back to the source of its causes.
Yeah.
We'll let you learn how to move ahead with your family and your life, given those problems exist. We can't reach back in anyone's childhood or past and change what the relationship was with their mother or father. But we can help them understand it and move ahead.
What's it, Vic, that makes you uniquely qualified outside of just the vast years of experience? I mean, is there any counseling training? Is there any particular training that you've gone through to help you there?
No, we've done the research. That's
okay.
The single answer.
Okay.
We know what the causes are. We know where the remedies lie. We're not sitting back and saying, we think, or our 27 families we've worked with have helped us head in this direction, and it generally seems to work. The big difference with our firm is we have actually done the research to get us to our practices that we follow. And it's not, we haven't decided those practices. We're just relating those practices from families who've already done it and already been successful. All we're doing is carrying the word from families that have gone before you. We're carrying it into today's life for you.
See, I think what you did for us is you articulated exactly what we were seeing. I would sit with the families and I would hear what was going on, and I really didn't. It was like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. I couldn't get a good grip on it. And then I got a hold of, you know, the first research that you had done, and finally, and what I did is I sort of made like a T, you know. And I said, okay, why were they failures? And then I went on the other side, and if they were failures, what was it that we could do on the positive side to put them over and be in the other side of the ledger? And that's when we really made significant strides in what we're doing in three-dimensional wealth.
Well, that's a constructive, very logical approach. With that approach, you can be consistent. You're not having to move around and adjust your process for every different concern a family has. You can say, follow this little yellow brick road. This yellow brick road will lead you to daylight and lead you to some peace and harmony and success in your post-transition planning.
Terrific. Vic, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more three-dimensional wealth.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA. going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu, the education you need to succeed.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
We now return to three-dimensional wealth with Rory Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of three-dimensional wealth, Rory Diefendorf.
Welcome back. My guest for today is Vic Pricer, and we're discussing his new book, soon to come out, Estate Planning for the Post-Transition Period. But I want to read an excerpt. This is actually, I guess, a referral or from a client of his, but this is what a client said about Vic. It was important for my husband and me to help our four daughters avoid the pitfalls that are common in families who inherit shared assets. So we decided to hire the Williams Group to work with us. We developed a family mission statement, financial plan, and explored communication techniques. The children were empowered by the meetings, and our family communication was enhanced. We would highly recommend Roy and Vic and his group. It has been a very meaningful and worthwhile experience for our family. I mean, those are powerful testimonies, but the things that you are doing in the forefront and the cutting edge of what I call the new kind of financial planning or planning that's coming is really terrific. Let's talk about, I have in my hand your new manuscript. When is this book going to hit the bookstores?
Oh,
or are you still researching it?
We'll probably see it out in January or February.
Okay.
What normally happens is we do the research, then we write the book, and then we send the book back out to the people we did the research with and said, does this capture what your tummy tells you
mm-hmm.
has been going on? And it's only after we get their feedback, say, boy, that's exactly right on target. It's only then that we're actually able to go out to public with it.
All right. Well, what's the elevator speech for this book? Can you give us a synopsis of what the tenets of it are?
Well, the tenets generally say this. Estate planners, you really, up to now, have not looked more broadly enough. You've been focused on the assets. We believe that the new generation of estate planners will have to focus on asset receivers as well. The analogy we use is you could have your two heirs that kind of show up on game day Sunday at 1 o'clock, and they run into their positions on the field as you line up. Well, there's the old familiar line, you know, the estate planner, the lawyer, the attorney, the tax accountant, and there's mom and dad in the backfield ready to receive the ball and pass it. After all, this is a passing team. You know you got to pass it eventually. They all hut, 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 and the ball gets centered. Mom and dad and all their linemen are all rehearsed. They're protected, and they go to throw the ball downstream, down the field. To who? Where? They don't know what patterns to run. They've never practiced with the team. They haven't even met the offensive line. And they're running their patterns all over the field in the midst of 11 hungry opponents who want to intercept the ball and strip the ball from them. They haven't seen the playbook. They haven't even been to a practice.
That's certainly not the way to win the Super Bowl. You wouldn't show up in January or February and say, let's go. I mean, you know, they've got preseason, and then they've got, you know, the whole season to go through. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Well, you know, that's the way it's been done historically.
Well, you said one of the things, that the topics in there, was a whole discussion on trust and communication, the breakdown. Can you give us a synopsis of that?
Well, I'll give you one synopsis. We started off in our research asking the families, and they said, well, there was a breakdown of trust, or I couldn't communicate with the kids, or I didn't think they were ready to know what the estate was or what our plans were.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't. We thought we were feeling pretty good. We'd interviewed a few hundred families, and man, this was starting to come out. And we suddenly found out that every one of those families had a different definition for trust.
Interesting.
Staggering waste of time that we went through. Because they all meant something different when they talked about that issue. So we had to go back. We went to the universities and said, give us a definition for trust that we can read to the families, and then based on that definition, tell us if their comments still hold. We couldn't find a definition of trust. We went to three major universities in their schools of psychology, and they said, well, we can tell you what goes on in the absence of trust or what mistrust causes in behaviors, but frankly, we can't agree on a definition for trust. So we had to start a research all over again with a new definition for trust.
And how do you develop that? Or how, is that just in your family meetings that you start to talk about that?
Well, we looked at some of the real thinkers, and we had to go out of the country to get the definition. And in fact, we finally got a definition when one very distinguished leader in this business, called a guy named Fernando Flores, said, look, there's three elements to trust. There's reliability, there's sincerity, and there's competence. Reliability. You're going to do what you say you're going to do when you said you're going to do it. Sincerity. Do you really mean inside what you're saying outside? Is your heart and your mind in sync? Your promise. And finally, competence. I don't care how much you say I'm going to fly by flapping my arms, you're simply not competent to do that. He said, if any one of those three items, any one, is missing, you cannot have authentic trust. You'll continually disappoint your partner. And all three have to exist where your partner knows you care about being trusted. Well, for the first time, we had our hands around a tight definition and could go back to these families and do the research.
They didn't teach that in law school. They didn't teach that in the investment management course I took at Wharton, huh? That's interesting.
Well, it's critical that we all be talking the same language if we're going to ask these families about what happened.
We use, Vic, as we start off in the work we're doing, we use a test that talks about, identifying values. It's a Valgenics test, and it's developed by a PhD in Australia. And there's 120 different values, and we've narrowed it down to 60. And from that 60, we'll take family members through individually and identify and say, what are the core values that you have? And then we're able to share that so we get an idea, are we on the same page? Because we'll work towards developing a family mission statement. So we're using that. Now, you know, you used a different technique. It was sort of a silver and gold, I forget exactly what you like, a game board?
That was
Is that where
search.
You use that in your book? How does that work?
Well, that was our search to try to develop a process that could, in effect, be taken to the field by estate planning firms. And that process will be spelled out in that game board process will be spelled out in our new book. It's not our theory. It's just something we've seen work, and we've tested it. And I think that'll make it a lot easier for practitioners to do what you're doing. I think the way you go about it, frankly, Roy, is much more thorough and more likely to be enduring, because you really need to get the whole family engaged. And when you say a mission for the family, it's not the business mission.
Right.
This is the mission of their wealth, name, reputation, and time. What are they going to do with those precious assets? What does the family agree over the long term is the objective that they all want to pursue with the family wealth? Because I can tell you, in every situation, without exception, if a family hasn't agreed on the family mission, the first thing that happens after the decedent's will is read, the first thing the children agree on in their life is, let's put our money together and break up this will.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a heck of a thing to have your children agree on for the first time.
There was another pretty interesting checklist. You had it called the Wealth Transition Checklist in this new book. And it was sort of a way to evaluate. And if you went down these 10 questions and you got 7 or more, I guess you're doing okay. If you did less than 3, you were not doing okay. And if you're in the middle, well, maybe you had a chance to move one way or another. How are you seeing that played out? And have you used this before, or is this a new concept?
Well, one of the things that was important is, can a family member assess himself privately in his study or in his patio and say, geez, what are my odds? What kind of a family am I most like? Are we most like families that have succeeded? Or are we most like families that didn't succeed? When we looked at these groups of families and separated them, we found 10 individual factors that, depending on how many of these you said yes to, we could be 90% sure and tell you, you're going to make it, or you're really doomed for the pile. You ain't going to make it. 10 questions, self-asked, self-answered, will let you compare yourself to families that either made it or didn't make it. That's a valuable, valuable tool, and it's a perfect illustration of what hasn't even been available to estate planners until recently.
Well, then the problem becomes is when you find yourself at the bottom of the pile or not, you know, where do you turn to? Are there really practitioners, what I call, you know, three-dimensional wealth practitioners, are there really practitioners who can help through this guided discovery? that's really the sort of the questions. And what we've been trying to do here is develop curriculum for advisors to help them get to the point that says, you know what, there is a whole new way of approaching wealth, total wealth management, not just financial, one-dimensional, but total wealth management. So, I mean, I think this tool that you've outlined is a tremendous way to get started. One of the things that I think is going to be of interest is these clients say, now what? Who do I go to? Where do I find them? So maybe when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about that before we wrap up the show. So Vic, stay tuned. Listeners, stay tuned. We'll be back with more Three-Dimensional Wealth.
Bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu, the education you need to succeed.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, DiefendorfCapital.com.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three Dimensional Wealth with Roey Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com. Or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roey Diefendorf.
I'm here with the man that wrote the book, literally, Vic Pricer, and he's written a number of books. I have a manuscript in my hand, Estate Planning for the Post-Transition Period. A lot of words, but what we're really talking about is how to work with heirs. And as that transition is being, as the baton is being passed, I mean, they say sometimes the race is not won or lost when it's being run. It's in the passing of the baton. And so this is the thing. And Vic is the foremost authority, I would say, in this area. So, again, Vic, thanks for spending this this hour with us. I want to wrap up, though, and talk about how these how it's going to be delivered. Are these services going to be delivered through a family office, through advisors like yourself, ourselves? What do you see?
I'll tell you what I see is that there's been a tremendous awakening that's starting to happen among estate planning professionals in the last couple of years. Very few have actually said, "Woof, I want to deliver this to my families because I know they need it and I know they benefit from it." It's very tough to take on a new skill when, as a senior advisor, as a senior estate planner, you're an old dog and you decide you want to learn a couple of new tricks. It's not easy, but it'll start to emerge, and yourself up in the Long Island area and some of the very few across the states, there are less than 1% of the people who do estate planning today who can give you a comprehensive, multi-dimensional wealth planning that'll raise your odds of success. Less than 1%.
See, that's a space I'd like to play in. Now, let me ask about a multifamily office or a, in your new book, you talked about a commercial family office. How is that coming about, and what does that deliver to these families?
Well, you know, family offices have traditionally sprung up because you had $100 million in assets. So, boy, that's a good reason to have your own internal professional advisors and save some costs and save some fees. And you know, really, that's all wrong. When you look at the net cost to a family, the net cost of managing their assets internally, that's their total return minus the cost of achieving that return. It's not that big a payday. It turns out what the family offices are hugely helpful for is coordinating with all your heirs and siblings and grandkids. It turns out family offices are very useful for security reasons. They're useful to maintain an internal website where you don't tell the world about your coming and goings and who's on vacation. It turns out family offices are wonderful as a repository, as a museum for the family's history and artifacts, and on and on and on. All the non-traditional elements that can bind a family together are much more valuable than just the asset management.
We have, for example, in our family, we've got a website for a family home that's been in the family for 500 years. It's in Europe. And so we use that, and when people are going and what's going on, and people will leave, you know, a restaurant they found, and so it's been a great sort of unifying thing, and we'll go and have our family retreats there, and so it's I'm the 11th generation.
You won't find that in any family office textbooks.
Well, but that's the fun stuff, and that really sort of helps to unify. I mean, we've got our governance. We've got the things that we're doing in order to perpetuate this and pass it on down the line. So it's a lot of fun.
Philanthropy is another amazing resource. Philanthropy is great for the good that it can do in the world. But as a stealth trainer, as a stealth educator, as a stealth preparer of heirs, it is an extraordinarily powerful tool. We'll waken up to that pretty soon.
One of the things that we found is that with technology, that before we would think of a family foundation of $3, $4, or $5 million. With technology, probably it's 4 or 5 years ago, we started with Foundation Source, which sort of does back office for family foundations. It has taken all of the nightmare and the administration, but has put a tool in these families that we're working with that have their family website for their philanthropy as well. And again, we're using it in our family. So, my daughter is 17, says, well, I'd like to, buy some shoes to send to orphans in Zambia. Goes online, sends it out, and that's part of her, allocation. She's got a granting authority. That's part of what her limit was. And so we're seeing that and having a lot of fun using that as an incubator to train heirs, yeah.
Do you find that she talks very easily and very readily to you about her passions in philanthropy?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, this gal has been, not only did she go to Zambia at 17, she came back the next year, recruited a sister, came back the next year, recruited another sister, came back, recruited her mother this last past summer. She came back last year and she said, Dad, you have to come. She said, this will change your life. So this past year, 5 of the 6 of us in our family went to Zambia, worked with orphans, and this was all part of our foundation. Now we've actually taken part of the allocation of our resources, bought a bus in Zambia and employs 2 people, a bus driver and a worker, and provides scholarships for 12 orphans, their food supplements, vitamin supplements, all their education fees, daily mentoring. And so that was one of the things that when we came back, we had a meeting, said, well, we don't have unlimited resources, but what do you want to do? And so we set our objective and said, this is what we'd like to do. And I said, okay. and there we go. So now we're interested to see what the results are, because there are 76 orphans in Kalikiliki compound in Zambia that we work with one-on-one, and now we want to see what the difference will be. Just with food supplements and vitamin supplements alone, these kids will actually grow, and their brains will grow, and they have a much better chance of being the leaders, of which at 16 and 17 years old, the old people in the country now. So it's a lot of fun. And that's what we find, is that technology has allowed us to do this and for much lower levels. And so we're seeing it as for the regular people.
Well, what's happened is your philanthropy has grown inside your own family. Mm-hmm. Leaders, teachers, advocates, listeners, auditors, accountability specialists. These are all talents that you pray for will emerge in your children. And that's what the philanthropy's greatest gift is, not only to the children in Zambia, but to what it's done for your family and your children as well.
Well, we're actually running this Thursday evening. We're running a whole session on family philanthropy. And it kind of turns my stomach when I hear other advisors talk about, well, if you do this, you can get a tax deduction. I'm going, not one-dimensional. Is that,
that's
what it's about. That's a side benefit, in my opinion.
Sure.
That's not the key benefit. That's the side benefit.
That's a lot of how they started. But I can tell you, I can see in Silicon Valley the collapsing of foundations that were established for tax benefits and not with any thought in mind as to what they can do for the community and family. They are collapsing around me like a house of cards out here.
Mm. Any parting words of wisdom as you leave us today? What would be the, what you'd say to a family right now? What would you say to an advisor who's coming into their career? What two things would you say?
I'd say two things. I'd say first to the family. If you aren't preparing your children to receive your assets, you might just as well throw them away, because that's what the odds say is going to happen. And the second thing I'd say to advisors, if you don't look on the other side of that wall, if you don't look just over that horizon and find out what the impact of the assets is going to be on those children, you are neglecting 50% of the entire estate planning equation.
There you go. Vic Pricer, man of wisdom. Thanks a lot for being with us this hour, Vic. I think it's been terrific.
Thanks, Roy.
And I hope our listeners have enjoyed our discussion. I invite them to join us again same time next week with more of Three Dimensional Wealth.
Voice America Business thanks you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Rory Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth, right here on Voice America Business, the bottom line in business talk.